His heart has not changed. If anything, his heart for us and his heart for us to be what Jerry's talking about, for us to come into this experiential unity. We're already one. We didn't get to choose on that. That's the way he ordained it.
That's right.
We are his body.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a fragmented body.
Nope.
But we are one, and he, and we're just trying to figure out, how does that look? What do we, how do we do that, Lord? How do we walk that out? How do we sincerely be one with one another? And this morning, well, even last night, I felt like what he was saying was that we say the word intimacy a lot. It's been such a word that the body has used for a long time. The church has talked about, and it should be so. I mean, what I'm saying is, it's still on his heart. It is still the main thing. And what I saw was that it's looking right into his eyes. And we look into his eyes when we look into one another's eyes. And give ourselves to one another. So, you sang about it this morning. I mean, it blew my mind. Some of the lyrics to the songs and the phrases that you guys sang were exactly what I had seen in my spirit this morning, just preparing for this morning. And I have carried a heart for this city and a heart to see the church unified, because I believe when we walk in that unity, when the world sees it, that a lot of the other things that we're believing for, the yes and amen that we're believing for, the revival, if you want to call it revival, the explosion of the kingdom on this earth is going to happen. And that's the first thing. So it's our intimacy with him and with one another. I think that's how the unity will be seen. And I feel like I'm just plowing the same road, Eddie. Over and over, I say the same things, but it's
more you say it, the more you believe it.
Well, and I do. I do.
Faith comes by hearing.
But I love you all, and I love this city, and I'm excited. There's an expectancy in my heart. And
so I'm going to
let you.
I think you did just fine. She's been such an encouragement to me all these years. The Lord knows. I was telling her this morning, long before we were married, I was out in Oklahoma playing with a band I used to be with, and I got saved when I was 13, and but someone in my family, very close to me, asked me how I felt. And I said, well, I don't know. It's just, it's different. It's so... And they said, well, you must not have got saved if you don't know what you feel. And the devil just used that seed of doubt to, clean my clock for a long time. And but there was doubt, but there was something too that I knew was real, because I knew when I walked that aisle that night, I'd been white knuckling for a week, because me and Mom and Dad would do all these revivals there in Kentucky. They'd ask the Skaggs family to come and sing, and so Dad, Mom, and I would go, and the preaching would get intense. They had tag team preaching where I went to church.
And, tag me and coach.
Yeah, tag me and coach. And we're ready to get in and give the devil hell for another hour. And so But I knew it was real. And but I just remembered hearing the Whites. They weren't called the Whites back then. It was Buck White and the Down Home Folks when y'all was Down Home Folks.
Down Home, much more fitting name, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's right. And but I remember sitting out and listening to y'all. We had just, you know, we'd met and we're kind of friends, but I was just sitting out there listening, and y'all was doing some gospel songs because, you know, we both come from, you know, marketplace background, and you know, we love the Lord, and we love people, and so love God, love people. I just made a T-shirt and sold it on the road. It's the first time I've ever had a T-shirt that had a message on it like that. It's always just been my name, and ain't much message in that. But anyway, but I just remember hearing the Whites and hearing Sharon introduce a song, and I think it was Help Me. Yes. Is that a Larry Gatlin?
Yeah.
And man, I was undone. And I was running from the Lord. I was not living for Him, and I wasn't such a bad person. I was just lost as heck, you know. Yeah. And I just didn't believe. I believed. I listened to the wrong voice, and I believed a lie.
You didn't get saved.
That's right. I was believing that. And but you have always, even when you don't think, you do. You always have a witness for Christ. Always. And I know the dark, the hurt that you're going through right now, Mr. Buck. But God is using every bit of this for us. He's not doing this to us, He's doing it for us. And so I'm thankful for you. And I'm thankful for the witness you've always been, because you were running after Jesus long before I was. You and Barbara Fairchild, that wild woman of God. She's dragging you everywhere, and you was going right with her. And then you tucked me in. We met Ray Hughes the first night. Then
all bets were off.
But I appreciate you so much, and I'm just thankful. I'm a thankful man. Thank you, Mama. See, ready to move that one over there, but you did just right. Thank you. Well, Paul Kane, a wonderful prophet that is going to be restored back to the body. And the Lord has told me that. And I was at a conference. A friend of mine, Sam Braswell, Brassfield, out in Texas, was at a Sandy Jacobs conference that a bunch of prophetic people were at. And I was up praying that morning because I knew they were there. And the Lord really put Paul on my heart. And I said, so I text Sam. I said, you're going to hear the name Paul Kane today. You're going to hear that the Lord says he's going to be restored. And I said, he's going to be restored back to the body. I said, he's carrying something for this generation, for this last day church that we need. And he is going to be restored. And you're going to hear about this today. Text me back about 20 minutes later and said, they're talking about Paul Kane on the stage, you know.
Wow.
And he'd had a word, you know, and Elijah List had put it up. And so Steve
Schultz was there reading the thing.
Mm.
And so anyway, I just know that that's coming. And I remember him saying he was doing a meeting somewhere out in Texas, and this woman came up and said, "Do you have a word for me?" Because he'd been giving people words all night long. He said, "Yeah, right here's a book full of them. Now go grab one." Man, that's tough being under the anointing like that. Anyway, well, Brother Jerry asked if I would just.
Want a chair?
Yeah. Nah, I think. Well, I think I'm okay right here.
We can't see you.
I'm just a musician. Golly, I'm not a. You know what? I'm not.
It's up there. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Now,
there you go. One arm helping another arm.
I love this brother. Dig the boots, were they Christmas boots?
A little bit before.
A little before. Really? Hey, we need to
check.
No, boots is good. That's very prophetic. Mm. Very prophetic this year. Mm. Bonnie Jones, Bob's widow, she has continued to put out the shepherd's rod every year. Bob used to get a word from the Lord for the next year coming. And so she has continued that. And because Bob told her to. So you said, you keep going to the Lord for the shepherd's rod. You know, it's important. And one of the things this year is that we were getting new shoes. The body is getting new shoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And some have been wearing flip-flops. Because they didn't like the shoes they were wearing. They were hurting their feet. And so some were wearing stilettos because they wanted to be elevated above. And so there's a lot in that about new shoes. And I had a thing happen to me right before Christmas. I was in a boot store in Santa Fe, and saw these boots, and I just really, really loved them. They were more money than I wanted to spend, and so the guy kept telling me, "Now, you know, you'd love these," and I said, "Oh, I bet I would." I already do. It wouldn't take long to complete it, but anyway. So I let him size me up, you know, my foot. And so anyway, I just said, you know, one of these days, but I can't do it now. So one of these days. Well, he came to a show that we did in Santa Fe. I invited him to come. And so I saw him out when I was getting ready to go do autographs. He and his wife were out there and they were going to be leaving. So he just wanted to say thanks for the tickets and all. And I saw him, he had a CD of Mosaic, which is a gospel record that me and Gordon Kennedy did. And he had another one of the Bluegrass records. And so anyway, he took off. And well, about a week before Christmas, I get this box in the mail. And I thought, what is that? And then I looked and it says, Boots and More.
Wow.
It's the name of the boot store out there. Boots and More. And it's from Santa Fe. And I went, oh my God. So I took the paper off and there was the box. Opened up the box and it was, they were in cloth, you know, little baggies. I mean, that kind. And so I didn't take them out, I just felt through the cloth, and yeah, that's that. Wonder which color he sent. I didn't care. because there was a red pear that blew me away. I really, really, as you can tell. But anyway, they were black. And I just cried. I bawled. I was so thankful, so humbled by the goodness of the Lord. But I think those new boots and new shoes that Bonnie said she heard the Lord say, I really think that's a word for us this year. Because a lot of the boots that we've worn, and you were talking about some that have really been worn out here in town, you know, they're fixing to get some new shoes. And they're going to fit. And they're going to feel right. Because they're going to be walking in the calling now.
Yeah.
When you're in the calling shoes, then your feet don't hurt. When you get out of your calling is when the walk hurts.
Right.
Because you're walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. It always hurts.
Bam. Wow.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
That's right.
Well, Jerry asked me to give you a few little things that maybe the Lord had been speaking about this year 2018, which I do agree with everybody. This is going to be an incredibly great year in so many ways. It's going to be a good year in the marketplace. It's going to be a good year in the church. The kingdom of darkness is going to get darker, but who the heck cares? We got the light. We got the light. And it's Him. And we don't need to worry about the darkness. Really, we should almost be like, how about it get a little darker so that, you know, the light's going to shine even brighter? So come on. We're good. So, but I really don't believe that this scripture has been fulfilled yet. And it's Joel 2:28. And some may not argue, but may theologically say, well, you know, that it did happen. But I don't think so. I can't find anything in church history for sure that it's happened yet. But Joel 2:28 through 32 says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." How much is all flesh? All flesh. All flesh. Didn't say saved flesh, like 120 in the upper room. Didn't say them. Thank God. But the Lord is saying here, all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And maybe remember them. God help me. She's laughing because she knows. I'm in right in the middle of it. And then I wake up and it's kind of gone. But your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants. Now that kind of says to me, with all flesh, that might just have something to do with the marketplace. Men servants and maid servants. Workers. People that out in the workplace. I will pour out my spirit in those days, says the Lord. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. Brother Jerry. Oh, it doesn't say that in there, but I just added that. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Okay, let's go back just a minute here to all flesh.
you know, we've kind of already seen signs in the heavens, the blood moons. We're living in this time. First the natural, then the spiritual. We've seen the moon, we've seen the eclipse, and I believe we're going to start seeing the Holy Spirit being poured out in the earth on the most unlikely people. Rock stars.
Come on.
Atheists. Staunch liberals, bless their little hearts. And the gay and lesbian community. All flesh.
You know.
All flesh.
Lord.
I mean, and then whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What if Mick Jagger's out there just dancing around and bam, I mean, here comes tongues as he's singing. Now, the Lord wouldn't be that religious, would he? To not give him something like that? Well, you can't have that. You're not one of mine yet. You have to get saved first. Nah. That's not what he's saying. He says all flesh.
That's right.
What would this look like? When this happens, what's this going to look like? What would we as the church deal? How would we deal with this? I mean, I'm asking questions. So, something to think about. How? Because this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And I've heard this, and the Lord has spoke this thing to me 2-3 years. I've been telling people, Joel 2:28. And I was watching Sid Roth the other night, and a guy named Jeremiah Johnson comes on there. He's a prophet. And he said, Joel 2:28 is getting ready to happen. Yeah. I said, a like-minded brother there. So, not that we need, you know, confirmation. But I just believe it's something on the Lord's heart that for this mass revival that's coming. This would be a massive shift in the way we've done church. Would we be ready? Would we be ready? Mm. How are we going to... I mean, there'll be babies. Baby Christians. 70 years old. Just babies. You know. But I think they'll grow up quick. Because I think when the Spirit of the Lord hits them, I think they can learn pretty fast.
Acceleration.
Because they'll say, this is the real thing.
Yeah.
This ain't church. This is the real deal. This is what I've been wanting, been waiting for. The Lord has, I believe the church has got to get back to preaching the Word of God unapologetically and without compromise. I mean, when's the last time you heard a message on the blood of Jesus? The power of the blood. It's the hidden weapon the church don't use. It really, truly is.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see Satan leave quick?
Mm-hmm.
Hear the door slam? He may not even take time to slam the door. He just when you start speaking the blood of Jesus,
oh yeah,
he cannot be around it. Mm-hmm. He'll go, and all his rascals with him. Or even the cross. Sometimes it's hard to hear messages in church anymore. And the resurrection, I mean, they did this poll here not long ago, and gosh, there was such a large percentage of evangelical, born-again Christians that they polled that wasn't really sure that they believed in their death, burial, and resurrection.
Wow.
Man. So I think their seeker-friendly message... And I really believe the Lord spoke this to me last night. And the reason why is because I have never looked up the word tares before. But the Lord said the seeker-friendly message has produced more tares than wheat.
Come on.
Now, that ain't me saying that. I couldn't have come up with that. He said that. When we preach a self-help message, it takes Jesus out of the equation. And when we fail to preach a message and leave out the Holy Spirit, we've unplugged from the power source.
That's right.
Papa Bob Jones said, "The Holy Spirit is the only God on this earth. Papa is in heaven, and the Lord Jesus is right by his side. So the Holy Spirit is our only power source on the earth. The Father sent him to be our power here on the earth as it is in heaven." Our friend R.T. Kendall has just released a book called Whatever Happened to the Gospel. And it deals with the very same thing, this issue. The enemy is using this watered-down gospel to lull us to sleep so we won't be ready when we need to have our lamps full of oil. Now, that came to me before I looked up the word tares. I'm telling you, this absolutely happened. Tares is a, there's a bearded darnel. It's a plant. The bearded darnel mentioned only in Matthew 13, 25 through 30. It's a species of rye grass, the seeds of which are a strong soporific poison.
We looked it up.
Yeah, we did. We looked it up. It bears the closest resemblance to wheat until the ear appears.
Oh.
And only then the difference is discovered. And it grows plentifully in Syria and Palestine. Come on, man. Soporific. A causing or tending to cause sleep. A tending to dull awareness or alertness, or relating to or marked by sleepiness or lethargy. Soporific agent, specifically hypnotic, is another word that it means, hypnotic. So, I mean, if we're preaching the word, there ain't no poison in that word.
No.
There's life in the word. See. So if we're preaching that, then lives will be changed. The self-help messages, just to get people in the church, is not producing what the Lord wants. And that's one. Okay. That's... the Lord spoke this to me recently too. He said, "There's something I really love about the world. They know they're lost. And they know they need me. But there are so many in the church that don't know they're lost too.
Amen.
They think they have all of me they need. They have all of me they want. But they could have all that I am if they really wanted me." You don't sound like me saying that. I recently had a dream. I saw a plaque that looked like something that you'd see on a building, like a church, the outside of a church, a big plaque. And it was covered with words that had been chiseled out, like hand chiseled. And in the dream, I felt like it was a new song that had never been sung. When I saw that, the words on it, it looked like a new song. That's what I felt like in the dream. It was at the Ryman. Shocker. It was at the Ryman. And two or three of us was up on stage, and we were trying to sing the song, but I don't think we knew how to sing it just yet. I don't remember anything about a melody or any of the words. I think it's for a time yet to come. If God was going to send you a letter or a song or a decree, it would have looked just like that, almost like Moses would have gotten on Mount Sinai. The chiseling in size looked like it was made just for the rhyming, but it's not been put up yet. And I think the dream means there's going to be a new song coming to the Church of Nashville. But it'll be sung in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And it'll bring salvations in both places.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
And much of the church has lost hope. You know, we just so many things y'all were talking about in the words that came this morning. So much of the church has lost hope. We've believed the lie that our best days are behind us.
Yeah.
We've almost turned into a pillar of salt looking back at the last century church, the revivals and the healings of the 40s and 50s, and we're saying, man, I wish I could have lived back then. But the Lord says, our greatest days are ahead of us.
Amen.
Revival is coming. Youth without number. We're living in the greatest times that church history has ever known. Times the apostles wish they could have been here for. They're jealous. If there's any jealousy in heaven, they just can't hardly stand it. But they're up there praying for us. And as for Awaken the Dawn, it was an amazing day. The devil tried to stop both me and Sharon from getting there, into D.C., but he didn't succeed. I really had to stay in faith to make it. I think that was a word from the Lord, that from now on we must exercise faith like we've never known it before. Yeah. We've got to stay in faith, not in fear. Stay in faith. I was going to blow the shofar at Awaken the Dawn, but it wasn't until a few days before did I know what it was for, what we were blowing the shofars for. I saw myself on the stage, and I had to stay with the vision. I think that's a word for us. If the Lord truly has shown you a vision and you see yourself there, then believe for it. Don't let the devil steal it because of circumstances. Don't let him put you under the circumstances. You rise above the circumstances and hold on to your vision. God gave it to you. Don't let him or anyone else steal it from you. So when there wasn't a seat on the plane to D.C. from Charlotte, I had to keep speaking the vision. That was for me. I needed to be in faith. What the Lord told me to do was when we blew the shofars as a company, that it wouldn't be like 7707, where we blew it for walls to be shaken and brought down here in Nashville. And we have seen that change.
Yes.
We've absolutely seen Nashville change since 7707. The walls of division between the denominations, that big crack in the wall, and I think a large piece of it has fallen off. But this one was going to be where 7707 was for walls to come down. This one in D.C. at the call was going to be an announcement. He showed me that when a person of high royalty is coming into a city, they announce him or her with a trumpet sound. He said, "Announce my coming." So I did. Because I was late, I not only got to share it with all the other shofar blowers, but I got to share it with the whole congregation, with everybody out there, so that we could corporately agree with it and announce it together. The King is coming. He's coming in glory. Make way for the King of glory. Because His presence is coming to us before He comes for us.
Tell them about David's wife's dream or vision that she'd had even before she married him. Do you remember that?
Oh, David.
Well, I hope I can remember it right.
Yeah. David Bradshaw.
The man that was behind the putting on the Awaken the Dawn was married. I don't know his wife. I don't know his wife's name. But I heard this told that even before she married him, she'd had a dream. And she saw herself. Now, this was when she was in college. And she saw herself in this dream in Washington, D.C., on the mall. And there was a big meeting, big bunch of people there, a lot of tents there. I mean, it was very, very specific. And she said the Lord came walking in. And so the announcement of the royal guest is what you saw. And she had seen it. She didn't tell David about this dream, until the Lord had already given her, or given him rather, this vision for this meeting, and they were working on getting it together. And I mean, she said, you know, this kind of reminds me of a dream I had back in college. And she started telling it, and it was like, it was spot on, identical. She'd seen in the spirit what was going to happen that day. And so the word about the blowing the trumpet for the announcement of the honored guest, and that's what that was about.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Well, you know, I really do believe that we're going to see his glory this year.
Amen.
And I think it's going to be more and more and more as the years go on, as we get closer. The call the next day, then on Monday, when we got there around 10 o'clock in the morning, they were starting to pray for prodigals to come home. And we weren't all the way to the stage yet. We had stopped and on the road, the long road to the stage.
Kept running into people we knew.
Yeah. And but prodigals, that's a tender spot in my heart, because I have two children. My oldest two are not in church, not serving the Lord. But the Lord had said many years ago, your children will be saved, but they will have to go through some things first. I hope they've gone through all of it, but yeah, most of it. But anyway. So when the lady started praying for prodigals, I bent down and prayed for my children. Kneeled down. It had rained the night before, so there was some mud in the road on the walkway down to up the mall toward the stage. And when we got through praying, I stood up and I looked down at my boots, and where I'd been kneeling, I saw something sticking up in the mud. It's kind of shining. And so I bent down and picked it up, and I could not believe what I saw. Now, for most people, this would make, you know, this wouldn't mean anything. But I grew up in Kentucky. I'm not ashamed of that. That's a godly place. Eastern Kentucky. Anyway. But most people wouldn't know what I saw, but the Lord did. He knew exactly. It looked like a ring that my dad would put in a hog's nose to keep them from rooting out of a hog pen and getting out. Anybody, any farmers around here that understand that?
And we'll go right in here.
Yeah. And make their nose tender so they wouldn't root, you know, get out. So I was reminded where the prodigal son, where he was when he came to his senses. He was in a hog lot eating with them. Such a sweet thing the Lord did there to let me know my kids are coming home.
Yes.
I think this is a word and a sign for everyone that has a wayward child that's not serving the Lord, but is out spending his or her inheritance. Keep praying with even more faith, because they are coming home this year.
Hallelujah.
They're coming home.
Hallelujah.
They're coming
yes,
home.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And then the prayer for women that Lou had invited all the women, you know, to come, godly women, women of virtue, to come and stand and be the mothers and the warriors and the, you know, and how God wants to release women in ministry to do what only women can do. They're the only ones that can birth anything.
Mm-hmm.
They can birth. God made women to birth.
That's right.
And they are the only ones that can birth new movements and new ministries. They can do that. And they're doing it because they've been set free. They're not second-class citizens, as Bob used to say. You're not a second-class citizen, honey. You're number one with the Lord. You and him's a majority against anything.
even against that old husband of yours. You know, but I think even this, and me and Scott have talked about this, this injustice that's been revealed against women, where men have taken advantage of them, you know, this has just gone wild. I think this has been unraveled as a result of prayers at the call. I really do.
Definitely.
I really believe it is. And as kind of wacky as all that is, God's in it. He truly is.
Yeah.
And, you know, women have a special enmity against the serpent. See?
Yeah.
They do. I read it last night. It's kind of read it in there. It's not Jesus, but it's about the woman too. But the Esthers and Deborahs are certainly, and for God to call women of virtue to rise up and take their rightful place in the body of Christ. It's an incredible revival going on in the Islamic world with women. See? Islam is being unraveled by their own women when they come to Christ. It's just unraveling it. And you boys, some of you have been over in those Islamic countries, and it's happening, I'm telling you. And when they see the scars on the Lord's hands when he appears to them in dreams, they're undone.
Yeah.
They realize, okay, I'm in. I'm in. 100% I'm in. I ain't going to just kind of a little bit believe this, because they've been told for centuries that Jesus never went to the cross. The Quran says that he never went to the cross. And so the Lord is doing a wonderful thing there. So that makes me believe that there's going to be a revival here in America with them too, because there's a whole lot of Islamic women here that are kind of third-class citizens, unfortunately.
Yeah.
God wants to make them his own.
Yeah.
And so we can reach the nations right here, right here in our city. We don't have to travel too far. And so that's just a few. That's the news from Lake Wobegon. And just a few things that that the Lord's been kind of speaking to my heart. And I got up this morning. I wrote a bunch of stuff down last night. I got up this morning and I set my clock to get up early. I wanted to get in there and get on my face and just pray and just, you know. So I'm crying out to the Lord this morning. Lord, give me a word for today. Lord, help me today. What do you want me to say today? How do you know? Just cricket. Just, Lord.
It's Ricky.
You remember me? I'm one of your favorites. I'm that bluegrass boy. I kept on asking. And for 30 minutes, total silence, nothing. Nothing. And then I heard, it was crazy, I heard an old hymn. It's like, this is what I prayed last night before I went to bed. After all the work and putting stuff together, I said, Lord, I really want your words today. I don't want my own, you know. I don't want to mix my words in with yours. I want it to be a clear trumpet sound. So I heard this song, Have Thine Own Way. So let's sing it. Have Thine Own Way.
Have Thine Own Way.
I'll play guitar and, you know, yeah, okay. Is it about time to do that?
It's fine.
Yeah. If you ask me a question, I'll tell you how to build a watch. That's what time it is.
If there's a way, I'm in it.
Very good. Don't drop it.
No, don't drop it.
Y'all know this one too, so we'll sing it together if you want to. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ears, the sound of God disclosed. Sometimes it's a literal walking away, you know, I'm so far away, that he has to shout. He's not much into shouting, but sometimes it's as simple as just the glancing away. And I'm just telling you, out of the overflow of my heart, where I'm at, and that you got to keep your eyes on his eyes. And because he's going to be right there. He's not going to walk away. Not even a step. So let's sing this last verse. It's the best one if we can sing it without crying.
Oh, yeah. Better felt than told.
I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling.
but he bids me go with the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Anybody else? I think I'm done. Pictures. I think I'd like to ask you guys if we could just pray for them. I have a sense that their sphere of influence is going to increase in the new year. Don't you think so? I mean, we don't know the power of a song or some of the artists that God has raised up. I was a kid coming to the Grand Ole Opry and hearing these songs.
Right.
Still remember Jim Reeves, Patsy Cline.
Mm-hmm.
They impacted me as a child.
Wow.
And I feel like we should just extend blessing, yes, that their sphere of influence would increase,
yes,
exponentially,
yes,
beyond their imagination.
Wow.
I just feel like God, yes, has put in them a prophetic heart for our city and such a passion.
Yeah.
And you know, when Ricky and Sharon open their mouth to sing, we hear, but we also listen. And they've shared their hearts in a way that few of us get to see people up close, you know. As a matter of fact, hearts like mine, still, like ours, rather, are still my favorite CD.
Aww.
It's their love song to each other.
Aww.
If you've not ever bought a great love song album, this one you want to get. Hearts Like Ours. And because it's from their heart. So, Father, I thank you for these two precious people that we honor in our city as really being a testimony and an example.
Thank you so much, God.
Well, we know that you have raised them up for such an hour as this. Who's to say the power of their testimony, their songs, the times they say yes. And I'm glad they say no sometimes, but they do say yes. And it's in that saying yes, it just, I see you smile. And I'm asking that you would now multiply, increase their sphere of influence in the days ahead. We ask for health. We ask for strength. We're asking for new songs. We're asking for platforms they wouldn't have even sought after. Because I know people are not just drawn to the music. They're drawn to the light,
yes,
in people's lives.
Yes.
Yes. We have the light of the world.
Yes.
And it is not hidden in these two.
That's right.
And so today as a body and as people who have walked alongside these two, we say, Lord, they're going to get to the next mountain.
Yes.
Because the valley is getting more and more level.
Yeah.
Those mountains are coming down.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
And they're going to see, oh God, the face of the one they love the most.
Mm-hmm.
And your glory will shine upon our nation in new ways in this year.
Yes, Lord.
And also in the land that we love, home. We say that there is a new thing happening in Jerusalem.
Yes, Lord.
In Israel. And it will be a light to the nations.
Yes.
It will be a worship center for the world to come to worship the true God. So God, would you hear our prayers and the desires of our heart for these two precious,
yes,
people? And we're saying yes to whatever you're calling them into.
Yes.
Whatever their next assignment is.
Yes.
We're saying yes.
Yeah.
We lift up their arms and stand with them in any way we can. We thank you, God, for their obedient hearts. And the church said amen. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys. Please, please do.
So I just a simple, just a simple vision that I think it really was the Lord. I just saw, as we were praying for you, I just saw like an arrow, and it was going towards the bullseye. And I'm like, that's great. Bullseye is great. You know, extra
like
bonus
that.
Points, hit the mark, all that good stuff. But it wasn't a bullseye. It was the Lord's eye. And you guys were like literally going right into the Lord's eyes.
Come on.
I feel like it speaks of prophetic vision. It speaks of intimacy, as you are shared. And I feel like, and when it hit, it was just almost like the when you look at an atomic bomb, you see all the rings of impact going out. And I felt like the Lord said his eye is on you, and you're going straight into his eyes, and he's going to speak through you. He's going to bring vision to a nation through you. It's really, really, when you speak, it's going to open up vision.
Thank you.
Where Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers.
Come on.
And I just really
it.
Speak that. So, if, and I saw for you, Sharon, that it was, you were like, is it Rapunzel who had the hair, the long hair? The tower?
Yeah.
Come on.
And I just felt like you felt like you've been shut up in a tower and kind of isolated and just kind of, just like, how do I ever get down from this and what's happening? And your prince is coming for you. Lord, and I just saw, like, really the Lord said, let down your burdens. It wasn't hair, it was he just said, just let down your burdens. I'm coming for you. I got you. And I saw you riding off into the sunset with your prince. And I feel like, you know, obviously it's this man, but it's also, it's the Lord himself. And so I feel like there's a shift in 2018 for you, Sharon, that you're coming back into your place in the city. You're not going to feel shut up and shut in.
Come on, Jesus.
Anymore. So, Sarah, would you come and pray too?
Come like this on.
Maybe just declaring a shift right now for this family.
No looking back. No looking back.
So, Lord God, Lord, we thank you for Sharon now.
Yes.
And we thank you what she carries. It's so vital, so important.
That's right.
So, Lord says it's so fermented for such a time for our city.
Yeah.
And we call it forth, Lord. It can't be shut up. She can't be shut away. Or her voice, her heart, Lord, is just imperative for such a time. So we just ask for great grace, Lord. We know the family things with Papa Buck getting older and all the things that they've had to carry out. But, Lord, as they let down their burdens, Lord, we thank you. Lord, the prince is coming, and we'll sweep them up into the high calling, and not just the bullseye, but the Lord's eye is on you, and they will hit the mark for the purpose of why you brought them together. Lord, we bless them as spiritual fathers and mothers of this city, Lord, how they've been for Sarah and I and for so many, Lord. We thank you for the shining example that they've been as they follow you, Lord. Let it only increase now, Lord.
Yes.
Bring that impact, Lord, of their lives across this nation. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Throughout the whole morning, I just had both of you just like in my mind. And I was like, what is this? What is this? What is this? And I feel like you two represent the shift of what God is doing in the body of Christ. You know, both of you desire unity. Both of you desire, you know, just for the body of Christ to come together. But what you're walking and embodying what the Father is doing in 2017, I believe. And what it is, I mean, I'm sorry, 2018. And what that is an authentic, bold gospel. It's, and the word is authentic. And when I think about both of you, you know how many years, Scott and I have known you, 24 years, 25 years?
He's a little girl.
Yeah, I was a little girl when I met you all. I can't think of two people that in the city more that represent and embody this word than you two. It's authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Authentic in your sound, authentic in your marriage, authentic in who you are. And it's just so beautiful. And this is what is shifting in the body of Christ, is that an authentic, bold gospel. That's how the world will know who Jesus is. It's not religious.
No.
Jesus came to take down the ways of the Pharisees and bring the authentic gospel. And that's what you both carry. And I was thinking, I don't have anyone that I can admire more than both of you in my life. I like so admire you for your authentic love for the Lord, authentic love for each other and your children and for the body. So I just want to just pray a prayer over both of you. We love you. We love you and how you stood for our city, but stood for people. You look for individuals to pour into, and it's beautiful to watch. And who you are on stage is the same off stage. That's authentic. And we love that. So, Father, I just thank you for this beautiful couple that represents your eye. Your eye is on them.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Father, that may we embody this authenticity, the authenticity in the Christian work and in the Christian body here in Nashville, Tennessee. And may it go throughout the world.
Thank you, Lord.
And may we be bold as they represent being in the marketplace, but yet walking boldly in their faith. May we have impact like they do. That being in the marketplace, but also in the church, having impact. Cover them, Lord. Put your angels around them. Plead the blood of Jesus over them, in them, through them. And I thank you, Father, for what you are doing in them. And your eye is on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, now you understand the Lord's taken us back to the roots.
Right.
And he brought us some roots people. These folks. I'll let Larry say the last word here, and then he can pray over us as we leave. Again, if you'd like to stay and have some warm liquid called soup, I think it is. I'll tell you what, Alicia is a great cook. So stay, feel free to fellowship. Give us our last word. Yes, and then you can pray for us.
Yeah, just... I just saw over you as we were praying for you. It was like a little banner that said "Backstage Moments," "Backstage Moments," and just keep the spiritual antenna up. And Jesus had compassion on the multitudes because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without any shepherd. And he said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest, send out the laborers." Mm-hmm. That you are His laborers, and strategically and uniquely placed. And there will be moments. That they're unguarded moments for celebrities and high-profile people, but the depth of hurt and loneliness and despair that's there, they project the image, and you will be there. And so move slowly through the crowd, so to speak, be attentive, and he's going to use you in a unique way in this realm of evangelism in this coming year. I'm not just saying some nice words. We know that's the heart of God. So, Father, I just pray for my brother and sister as they stand here, Lord God, in a very humble way. You resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. But as you said in Revelation, you open doors. You open a door no man can shut. Lord, most of us will never be in situations like Ricky and Sharon. We just won't be.
Yes,
but God,
Lord,
I ask you,
Lord,
to let him just sense with this person. And it may not just be a singer, a musician. It could be a stagehand, so to speak, or somebody
that's
working behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But on the edge of, I can't take it anymore. I can't take the grind, this Tory. And Ricky, you'll plant a seed just by taking a moment and extending a smile and love. So, Father, we pray that for them, and we pray it for all of us as we move into this year.
That.
For all of us, Lord, please help all of us to be as attentive to those unwelcome interruptions in our life that you arrange providentially so that we can minister your grace, your love, a word of encouragement, build a bridge with people. Lord, let this be a great year of harvest for all of us.
Yes,
and
Lord,
we thank you now. We thank you for this wonderful time here. Thank you for the light little lunch that we share and the fellowship. And we thank you for this together, collectively, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.